Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
.430 Sports with John Edwards. Man, oh man, John, the UTEC Bowl and the Bulldog all in a 24-hour span there. It is going to be huge for this area.
Football capital, at least this weekend.
Let's start with the Gators. What can you tell me?
For Bishops, they beat St. Mary's in triple overtime last week to advance the UTEC Bowl. First time Bishops has won a league title in 30 years. It's their sixth time at a national bowl game, but as I said, the first since 1994 when I was a lot younger. I think we all were a lot younger and thinner. They're going to play Laurier out of the OUA. It's the matchup of the last two undefeated teams left in U Sports. Laurier and Bishops both went 8-0 this year, and they've got a couple of players of the year quarterbacks going at it. Justin Kirion for the Gators and Taylor Elgersma for the Golden Hawks. You'd think it'd be the first time they've ever played, but they actually played each other once way back in the 60s when Laurier was called Waterloo Lutheran. Didn't go very well for the Gators that day. Hopefully this one goes a bit better. Gators are hoping to be the first AUS team to get to a Vanier Cup since 2007.
There was a great article this week in the Tribune about how Matt McBrien and Principal Goldblum really went through some difficult times when they suggested the Gators go into the Atlantic Conference.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of is never an easy decision to make a big move like that and change conferences, especially in this country where you're very much tied to sort of where you are in your region. You know, it was a decision based on the fact that in the RSEQ, nothing Bishops would do was ever going to get them to the level of Laval and Montreal, the resources that those two teams have. It made sense for Bishops to be in a league with teams that are roughly the same size, you know, the universities that share roughly the same values, tied together a little bit through the Maple League. It made a lot of sense for Bishops to move, but it's not an easy thing to do because you would have had, there were alums at the time who were upset about it because it sort of felt like an admission of defeat. In the end, there are 90 athletes now who have a ring that they would never have gotten if Bishops had stayed in the RSEQ. And I think Poyet said in the article that would Bishops football still be around? And it's an open question whether it would have lasted had they been in the RSEQ going 0-8 and 1-7 and getting hammered by Laval and Montreal every year.
You were so close to it. How did you feel at the time?
I thought it was a good move. I thought that structurally Bishops was a complete outlier in the RSEQ. I mean, you're going up against five universities that all are massive in size and so have, you know, way more resources than Bishops does. And you go to a league that, you know, schools are much closer in size to Bishops and much more sort of organized around the same model that Bishops is. Mount A is not that much bigger than Bishops. St. of X is about the size, maybe a little bit bigger. St. Mary's is a bit bigger, but Acadia is about the same size. So, you know, it makes a lot of sense that way if you can make it work financially. And they were able to do that. Took a while for it to come around because in the first 2 years, Sharif Nicholas basically inherited nothing. I think they got a bit of a shock when they went into the AUS because they thought they were going to waltz over it and they didn't. You know, but now they've gotten better. They've gotten, you know, Quebec players to come. The starting quarterback is from Quebec and he's chosen to come here and not somewhere in the RSEQ, and he's got a ring for it, playing a national semifinal.
It's all really cool. Cougars in Trois-Rivières.
Beat Andre Grasset 38-37 at Coulter Field last week, so a couple of big games at Coulter on Saturday. They're going to play undefeated Campus Notre-Dame de Foix tonight at 7 o'clock in Trois-Rivières to try and bring the bull door back down to Lennoxville.
It's all fabulous news. The John Edwards picks for both games.
I'm going to go two upsets. I'm going to go Gators by 3 in the UTEC Bowl, and I think the Cougars will sneak one out in the Bowl Door. And the Bowl Door will be on TV Sport, I think, tonight, if people want to watch it.
Very quickly, Players of the Week, John.
At the AUS football, all three from Bishops, obviously. David Chalou, the running back, who led the Gators, especially in that overtime, to the win. Gabriel Woye forced the fumble that allowed Bishops to tie the game in regulation against all odds, and Xavier Gervais, who was 6-6 on field goals, and he made all three in overtime, which is why we're having this conversation and why I'm not on a plane to Halifax. And the Gators of the week, as well as Gervais, we had Victoria Ghana, who led the women's basketball their first win of the season.
Talk to you at 5:30.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Of course there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
God, it hurts to be human. Without you, I'd be losing. Yeah, someday we'll face the music. God, it hurts to be human, but I've got you, you, hey, and you got me too.
Like we're buckled in, preparing for the crash. Like we're walking down a road of broken glass. Now if we defeat all odds and it was us against the world, you can count on me, you know I'd have your back.
God, it hurts to be human. Without you, I'd be losing. Yeah, someday we'll face the music. God, it hurts to be human, but I've got
spend the day in my shoes.
Your mind would change
if you knew what I've gone through.
We want the same.
Yeah, we do.
Maybe then you'd understand how it hurts to be human.
God, it hurts to be human. Without you,
without you,
I'd be losing.
The Weekly News Review with longtime Townships journalist Mike McDevitt on The Friday Drive.
Ready or not, here we go with Mike McDevitt's Weekly News Review right here on The Friday Drive, as we do every week. How are you today?
Oh, well, not too bad, considering.
Considering. Michael, let's start with postal issues. It's a lockout or a strike, depending on who you read. Mail volume has steadily declined since 2006, and while package deliveries have climbed, the profits for Canada Post have not. Total volume of mail has been eroding over the past 20 years. At its peak, Canada Post delivered nearly 5.5 billion letters. As of 2023, that number has fallen to 2.2 billion letters. In 2023, Canada Post delivered close to 300 million parcels. That number is down to 100 million. Canada Post has been in the red for the past 6 years. They have 68,000 employees. Now, here's the deal. Canada Post recorded losses of $750 million last year, $548 million the year before that. Six consecutive years of losses, topping $150 million. We do a lot of things by computer, and there are a lot of private companies out there. Is Canada Post still relevant? Should we keep on giving them money, you know, without any questions year after year?
No, I agree with you. I never use the mail. I don't know who else does. I still get my bank statements in the mail, even though they send me a digital statement. They can't deliver parcels any faster than competition. I don't know.
90% of the crap I get in the mail is basically stuff that people want to sell me.
Yeah, I get a lot of what's on sale in different places, and I get, well, basically that's it. Occasionally I get letters from the government and get all that digitally too. Now, there are still a few people in the world that don't have any kind of digital connections, but that number is going down faster and faster. I don't see a solution for Canada Post.
And by the way, Michael, this phenomenon is not just for Canada. The United States Postal Service is going through the same issue. Now, employees feel they're not being paid enough. Management wants changes to address the structural situation. Unsustainable losses in future years to come. This is what management is saying.
As hard as it is to admit it, sometimes things go out of relevance, you know? You can't find anybody to shoe your horses anymore. You know, every town used to have a blacksmith, but not no more. The days of the post office may well be numbered. You can certainly think of what $750 million could be better spent on.
It's not chump change, that's for sure.
No, it isn't.
Here we are, you and I, just gabbing here. We have a short-term solution to a long-term problem. Who knows? One thing is for sure, just to throw money at the employees again doesn't seem like a really smart move to me.
Well, no, it's not going to increase the product that they have to deliver. And I mean, I feel bad about that. I really don't see a future for the post office. I don't.
This is harsh. Like my old boss used to say, it is what it is.
It is what it is. All exactly.
All right. Support for the governing Coalition Avenir Quebec, your friends, hit a new low according to data from a new Léger poll, Michael. The CAQ now has 21% of voter intentions, and also satisfaction is way down. The PQ is sitting at 35%. Liberal Party, if Pablo Rodriguez were named, would be at 26%, a lot lower if Denis Coderre were the new leader. Times are rough for the CAQ.
You know, that's to be expected. They've been there a long time. Governments don't have a long life in Quebec. The CAQ isn't really, in my opinion, doing themselves any favors. They seem to be stuck for solutions to health care. They're making a lot of desperate ideas that I can't see working. First of all, with the doctors, the new doctors. If somebody graduating from a university in Quebec decides, to hell with it, I'll go practice in the States or I'll go practice somewhere else. What are they going to do? Chain them to a chair or something? I don't get it.
And here you are talking about health, education, the environment, transportation, so many other subjects. They can't seem to get a grip.
Key issues in Quebec, they don't seem competent to handle them. Now, I'm not saying I am. I'm not being asked to. I don't see any resurrection for them. A lot of people are just fed up with the government. Historically, governments don't last a long time. It doesn't make me any happier to think that the PECs are doing better. The Liberals, well, geez, we'll see what happens when they choose a leader, but...
Well, you may be right, Michael. The shelf life does have an expiration date.
And that's in and of itself not necessarily a bad thing. They've gone from arrogance to desperation pretty quickly, the CAQ, and I don't know.
All right. In the United States, the five stages, you're familiar, the denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance are a part of the framework that makes up our learning to live with bad news. So I guess I'm past anger, Michael, and I'm at the bargaining stage. And I actually, this week, you know, I was thinking that perhaps Trump would present maybe a better presidency this time with the experience he gained the first 4 years, and he could have a better structured system with strong support and less improvisation. I was actually going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And then a flurry of announcements these past few hours. Trump said he would nominate South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem to run the Department of Homeland Security. For crying out loud, she's in her early 30s.
Well, that in itself is not a bad thing. There's a whole else bunch of wrong things that are wrong with Noem. I was more upset by the fact that he was making Matt Gaetz Attorney General.
The subject of many theories as to his past, to allegations of what he may or may have not done in the past.
Sometimes you're too kind. He's not, they're not allegations. They're pretty much got him nailed down. I don't know why he's not in jail at the moment, but I can say that about quite a few. I think a lot of people are still in denial, not denial of the fact that he won, but the fact, the denial of what that means. He's not going to be better at anything. Occasionally, every once in a while, he might have a policy that people like. No. He's not going to do anybody any good.
And what about Pete Hegseth, who lacks senior military or national security experience? The guy is a TV presenter. He's going to be named to run the military.
Yeah, he doesn't need any expertise because Trump's going to tell him what to do. And he doesn't have the wherewithal to even know whether what he's being asked to do is legal or not. No, this is not going to be a pleasant 4 years for the Americans, for sure. It's not going to be all that much fun for us. Trudeau can say, we're going to work with him. Yeah, sure you are. What choice do you have? Just doesn't look good. He's not going to make anybody's houses cheaper. He's going to make Elon Musk a lot richer and a whole bunch of other billionaires richer because they need it. They're desperate for more money, those guys. You know, these yachts cost a lot of money and so do the private jets.
All right. To finish this off, Michael, COP29, for centuries, richer nations accrued vast wealth by exploiting the planet's resources at the expense of less developed, poorer countries. The wealthiest 10% of the world's population contributes 50% of all greenhouse gas emissions. The poor countries want to be compensated. This sounds really good, but do you ever see a scenario where that could be done?
I can see a scenario, but I can't see it actually happening. That's one of the most unfortunate things, is that the poorer countries in the world are amongst those getting hit hardest by global warming. They're responsible for the least amount of it. You and I benefit from our quality of life because of the harm we have done. Can I see us willingly giving up any of that? I don't think so. Unless some miracle technology shows up. No, I don't have a lot of optimism for the planet. I have a feeling the planet is going to be completely different for my grandchildren, combined with the fact that the social and political situation is not getting any better. I have to confess to being depressive as far as the long-term conditions are looking to be.
You know, our generation, we basically deny that there's a problem. And really, the only retort we have is, we're going to be gone by the time the problems are really here. That's pretty much the thing.
We're seeing it now. The planet's on the move. Every developed country is facing an immigration problem that they will not face up to. Disastrous climate change is only going to make that worse for all of us. Basic response that we seem to have is to get nastier and crueler. Turning immigrants away at the border, refugees, people that have little choice are going to have nowhere to go. The poorer countries also have amongst the youngest populations in the world. We're going to be stuck with a planet full of young people that can't survive, that can't make a living. Well, is it Trump's going to deport?
It's going to be bad. Michael, I just want to end on a positive note. We have to have something positive. The Darche Bridge opened 1 month before expectations, and the project is on budget, something you don't see too often in today's world.
No, I don't think we do. And I have been very impressed by that project. I drive underneath the Darche Bridge a lot. You know, you look around, you go, holy crap, are they ever doing a lot there? That they brought that in on budget and ahead of time just staggers me.
Michael McDevitt, every week at this time on the Friday Drive. Thank you, sir. Enjoy the sunshine for the weekend.
Okay, I'll try.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
Wake up, kids, we've got a dreamer's disease. Edge 14, we got you down on your knees. So, by light, you're busy still saying please. Who, when you're down and you're friend, every night we
what we give.
Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
It's Taylor McClure time. Taylor reports from the Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you from this week. And how are you this week?
Hi, Daniel. I'm not doing so bad. How are you doing?
I'm just fine. Thank you so much. All right, let's talk about a few things and start with the telephone fraud awareness campaign going on.
Yeah, so last week I was driving around in Countsville and I saw a couple of SQ police cars. They actually came up to my window and they were handing out flyers around telephone fraud because it's becoming a very concerning issue here in Brome, Missisquoi, but of course across the eastern townships. When this happened, I got in touch with the SQ right away and I spoke with Louis-Philippe Ruel, who is the spokesperson for the SQ here in the eastern townships. And he explained that SQ is raising awareness in Brome, Missisquoi and throughout the region around the different types of telephone fraud, and they're asking the population to remain alert as they continue to become more common. So he said that telephone fraud and even other forms of communication such as email and text messages are a growing concern in Quebec, Canada, and even at the international level, with grandparent scams, bank scams, and government scams only growing in number. And these are of the most common scams too that people are experiencing. People who are doing these scams are becoming very good at their jobs, which is why the SQ wants to ensure that citizens have access to the right information they need to make the right decisions for themselves. So he emphasized that people need to be patient, avoid taking action right away, and to reach out to their loved ones, family, friends, and other resources to ensure that whatever phone call, email they are receiving is legitimate. So basically the messages that he's trying to get across is don't take action until you know for sure. So this was an important conversation and discussion that they're trying to bring to the public here in the Eastern Townships.
For the life of me, I can't understand the whole phenomenon. You got some really disturbed people out there, but to do stuff like this is just unconscionable.
Yeah, as technology develops and the more tools they have access to at their fingertips, it just continues to grow and grow the problem. So that's why they wanted to raise this awareness so that people can ensure that people are making the right decisions for themselves.
And rightfully so. All right, the BMP Hospital has an enhancement project.
Yeah, so the Brome Missisquoi Perkins Hospital Foundation, otherwise known as the BMP Hospital Foundation, in collaboration with the Cirque de l'Esprit, held a press conference on November 8th, which is also International Radiology Day, to announce a new project to enhance and upgrade the medical imaging department at the Brome Missisquoi Perkins Hospital. The redevelopment project for the medical imaging department at the hospital will be carried out in four phases up until 2026, with the BMP Hospital Foundation committing $2.2 million towards the project. So this project includes redesigning the workspaces for those health professionals that are working in the department so that there's more fluidity and so that they can provide quality care to patients. Redesigning the spaces where patients are waiting or resting in the department to provide a more comfortable and adapted space for these individuals that are being served, particularly those with less mobility. It also includes upgrading the medical equipment with new technology, including the replacement of both of the radiograph machines. It's quite a big project that they're taking on. And for those who are interested in learning more details on the project can be found on the BMP Hospital Foundation's website, if ever someone is interested in learning more about the project.
The great Taylor McClure, heard on CIDI-FM every day, and you can check out daily news bits on CIDI991.com. The website is always there for you, and so is Taylor, by the way.
Yes, I try.
Have a great weekend. We speak next week.
You too, Daniel. Thank you.
Salut. Townships Weekend weather, it's going to be cloudy tonight, low minus 3. Tomorrow, clear skies, high plus 5. Saturday night, clear, low minus 6. Sunday, sunshine, high 6. Long term for Monday, periods of rain and a high of 6 degrees. Ed Humphrey from Townshippers Association, just after 5 o'clock. 5:10 interview of the week this week, it's Joanne Lavoie of the Memphis Magog Conservation. 5:30 sports with John Edwards. 5:40 arts and culture with Sonia Patnode. All on the Friday drive at CIDI 99.1 FM and CJMQ 88.9 FM.